Abortion is the issue nationwide now after the Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade on Friday. Locally, advocates for abortion rights turned out and spoke out at several demonstrations in Orange County. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell was there.
If you know me, you know I like to get personal. So let's get personal.
That's how Chapel Hill Town Councilmember Camille Berry introduced herself to a crowd gathered at Peace and Justice Plaza Saturday morning. Over the next several minutes, Berry recounted her pregnancy in 1993. She said the doctor kept having her returned for additional visits, more so than her first pregnancy 2 years earlier.
Turns out, in her opinion, I was experiencing a threatening miscarriage. I couldn't let it continue, this pregnancy, and see how it turned out. I could hope for the best, we could monitor it. But in her expert opinion, I should seriously consider an abortion. So we went home and we cried. And we thought and we thought.
Berry said a few weeks later, she and her partner made up their minds. They were going to terminate the pregnancy.
I was doing it because there was a huge risk that I was not willing to take. There was a risk of life. Yes, there were two lives, but there were two others as well. If something had happened to me, imagine my partner and our small child. In that situation, my personal situation, it was our choice. It was my choice.
Berry's story was just one testimony of several people who spoke during the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP's gathering to advocate for women's rights and access to abortion. The event came approximately 24 hours after the country learned the United States Supreme Court's ruling that effectively overturned previous decisions about federal protections for abortions, like Roe v. Wade. Elected leaders, NAACP members, and other community advocates lined up at the microphone to share their emotions about the ruling and to advocate for better representation reflecting the needs of women. Lisa Cayley, a representative of Democratic Women of Orange County, also shared her experience of getting an abortion, as well as having miscarriages and going through menopause. She said in her life, she feels socialized to not speak publicly about such topics.
Well, I am over being silent. I am over being quiet to protect others from being uncomfortable. My experiences are not unique. Every woman I have shared my stories with has shared similar stories, and that's why we are all here today.
Some speakers, including Orange County Commissioner Anna Richards, bemoaned the fact they protested for the right to safe abortion access before Roe v. Wade was passed.
I'm 72 years old. I was in college. I did this once. I never intended to do it again. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with this country that we are taking rights away?
A few miles north in downtown Hillsborough, a protest was being held for the same reasons. Demonstrators gathered along Churton Street near the historic Orange County Courthouse with signs promoting body autonomy, abortion access, and basic human rights. Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver briefly spoke to the crowd and discussed her own experience having an abortion. She referenced how consistent, wide polling of Americans reflects how the majority of people across demographics support abortion access, while the Supreme Court's ruling does not.
This is one time where being in Orange County is not a bubble. We are part of the majority of people living in this country, of all parties, races, and genders, and that's very, very important to remember.
Knowing that, and knowing many Americans saw their access to abortions immediately cut down on Friday, many of the speakers expressed frustration and fear for the country's future. Acknowledging those emotions, they had one main suggestion to try and prevent abortion rights from slipping further. Go vote. Jerry Richards of the Chapel Hill branch of the National Organization of Women said while still a few months away, the midterm elections will be critical, both in North Carolina and nationally.
Take what you are feeling today, take that anger, take that disappointment, take that fear, and turn it into action. Number one, as other people have said, it is time to vote. Vote pro-choice. Remember in November is what I want you to do.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
For now, the court's decision on Friday does not change the law in North Carolina, though Republican lawmakers have already vowed to make it a top priority to enact further restrictions next year, especially if they win veto-proof majorities in the House and Senate. There is a state law that would ban nearly all abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy, though it was struck down by a federal judge in 2019. Republicans have asked State Attorney General Josh Stein to go to court to try to restore that law. He has refused so far, but GOP leaders could try to take it to court themselves. Other legal news from Raleigh, a federal court has ruled that transgender people born in North Carolina can change the sex designation on their birth certificate without having to undergo surgery. Trans people will now be able to have their sex designation changed by submitting a sworn statement accompanied by a passport, a state ID, or a certification from a doctor, social worker, or case manager. Meanwhile, a new report from the state treasurer's office has found that North Carolina's seven largest hospital systems, including UNC, took in a combined $5.2 billion in net income last year, even while accepting billions in federal COVID relief funds. State Treasurer Dale Falwell has been critical of large hospitals for not delivering on promised charity care. The North Carolina Healthcare Association, for its part, responded with a statement saying the hospitals were still recovering from the heavy burden of tackling COVID the year before. Speaking of COVID, after a long wait, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines have now been approved for children as young as 6 months. And starting today, the Orange County Health Department is giving out shots to that age group by appointment only at the clinic in the Southern Human Services Center off Homestead Road. With more on the vaccine, 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach.
COVID-19 vaccines started rollout for most adults in March 2021. Vaccines began for children older than 5 at the end of last year, with adults receiving booster shots around the same time. It took another 8 months for the youngest in the community to finally get a chance to be vaccinated, more than a year after their parents got their first shots. Dr. David Weber, Medical Director of Infection Prevention at the UNC Medical Center, encouraged vaccinating children now rather than waiting until they're older. Weber said it's normal for vaccines for children to come slower.
In general, we start immunizing adults first. They can give informed consent, make for themselves a risk-benefit calculation, and children are considered a more vulnerable group.
Another factor in the delay in vaccine rollout for young children was determining the dosage. A 10-pound, 6-month-old infant will require a different dosage than a 300-pound adult.
The doses are designed to be effective even in the youngest children. They're just lower dose, but they also weigh a lot less.
Weber said there are many reasons to vaccinate children.
COVID is the leading cause of death in the last 2 years for children of all children, including those 6 months to 4 years of age, and is in the top 10 causes of death for those group of individuals. In addition, children can get so-called long COVID, symptoms lasting more than 4 to 12 weeks with, you know, fatigue and other problems. And some children who get COVID about 2 weeks later get the MISC syndrome, which is a multi-inflammatory syndrome, often requiring hospitalization and sometimes leading to death.
The medical doctor stressed vaccines not only benefiting children, but also vulnerable members of the family, like grandparents or those who are immunocompromised. The CDC did not give a preferential recommendation to either COVID-19 vaccine for children younger than 5. Similar to the adult dosages, the Moderna 2-dose series is spread 4 weeks apart, and the Pfizer 2-dose series is 3 weeks apart. Weber said whether these children will require a booster shot and when is still being researched.
So we have to learn to live with COVID. It's endemic. It's not going anywhere. I do expect it will wax and wane, particularly as we see more variants.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
And finally, Chapel Hill police on Friday made an arrest in the case of a stabbing that happened downtown earlier this month. 42-year-old Caleb Anthony Locklear has been charged with assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury. That incident occurred on June 13th on the 100 block of East Franklin Street. The victim in that case has been released from the hospital. Visit our website, chapelburger.com, to get more local news, including a piece from the Chatham News and Record on the Pittsburgh Town Board's recent decision to investigate and possibly sue upstream polluters who dump PFAS chemicals into the town's water supply. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Football in a second, first basketball. The NBA draft came and went last week for several former Tar Heels, but they are on their way to the pros nevertheless. Forward Brady Manick signed on Friday with the Charlotte Hornets, and Garrison Brooks, formerly of Carolina, signed with the New York Knicks. They'll both play in the NBA Summer League next month in hopes of making the regular season roster in the fall. Speaking of basketball, the schedule is out for this year's ACC Big Ten Challenge. Carolina will head up to Bloomington to face the Indiana Hoosiers on Wednesday, November 30th. Mark your calendars for that. Schedule's also out for UNC women's soccer's upcoming season, beginning with the home game against Tennessee on August 18th. Mark your calendars for that one, too. Other home games include UNCW, UCLA, and Central Florida, plus conference matchups with Virginia, BC, Pitt, NC State, and senior night against Wake Forest on October 14th. Head to GoHeels.com to get the full schedule. Now to football, where we are, as of today, exactly 2 months out from the start of the 22 season. Carolina's 2021 season was disappointing, but head coach Mack Brown says he's more confident in his team now than ever. Here he is speaking at last week's media day.
Everything I didn't like about last year, so far I like about this year. I did not feel good standing here last year about where we were headed, and the expectations were sky high. The standard was set, but I didn't think our team and our staff were doing the things that we needed to do, and for some reason I didn't do a good job and didn't get it changed. So we've had the best spring I think we've ever had. I know since we've been here, the guys are hungry, they're eager, they're working so hard, and the leadership is better. We're doing a better job teaching leadership, and guys are stepping up. The changes on the staff are all really cohesive as a group. They're having a lot of fun together. Coach Chizik knew most of the guys on that side of the ball. Tommy Thigpen had worked with him, and knew Dre when he was here. Tim Crossy knew at Texas, and then he's got Dre Bly, who worked with he and Charlton some when they were here before. And with Coach McNeil coming in with the offensive line, working with Phil Longo and Larry Porter in the past, we've got probably more cohesiveness on the staff we've ever had. And we've got more depth. The bench is your friend. And if a guy doesn't play well, you change him. You move him up and move another one down. So I really like this team headed into fall.
That's Mack Brown speaking there again. We are 2 months to the day from the start of the 2022 season. Carolina opens up on August 27th at home against Florida A&M. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors are in for several current and future Tar Heel athletes. In baseball, freshman outfielder Vance Honeycutt got named a third-team All-American by D1 Baseball. In golf, incoming Tar Heel transfer Dylan Menante won the Northeast Amateur in Rhode Island, breaking the all-time tournament record by 4 shots. And tonight, Tar Heel lacrosse star Jamie Ortega will receive the Honda Award as the top women's lacrosse player in the country at a ceremony in L.A. You can watch that live on the CBS Sports Network starting at 9 o'clock tonight. And in the pros, the Durham Bulls beat the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp 6-2 yesterday, clinching a 4-2 win in the road series. The Bulls are back in action tomorrow on the road again, game one of a 6-game series at Charlotte.